Hallelujah. Praise God. How adventurous the Gutierrez are to sit so far down the middle of the sanctuary. God bless you. Always nice to see these seats filled up. Hallelujah. And welcome, youth. How are you folks today? You good? All right. Thumbs up. They give me thumbs up. Hallelujah. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this day and to praise Him for His goodness. So I have a little story to start off with. I already shared this with Dennis. But in the morning, I like to sit in the last room in the back of the house. And there's a window that gazes out into what we call the Bashakil area. There's about 2,000 acres back there that our property backs onto. And so I've cleared going down over the slope, and I can see for about, 100 yards down through the woods. And I cleared out a lot of trees there this summer so that I could sit back there during my prayer time and every once in a while look up and just gaze down through the back of the woods. I often see squirrels and chipmunks, mice running around out back. And it's nice to sit. And I'm always hoping that I'm going to see like a bear, something coming up through the woods. So, day before yesterday, I'm out in the back, prayer time in the morning, before the sun has really come up, just starting to come up. And I see something move across about 100 feet down from the back. And I'm looking. I said, I'm finally seeing something. And this thing zipped across about 10, 15 feet really quick. And the wind was blowing. It was, sitting in there huddled in the back. And I saw it stop, and it was pure white. And I thought, what animal is pure? Maybe I'm seeing like an albino badger or an albino jackrabbit. And I saw it come over, and it stopped right there. And as I looked, I thought, it looked too big to be like a rabbit or something. And I said, maybe this was a rock, and the wind and the leaves were covering it, and then the leaves blew off, and I just exposed again. I said, but I really don't remember seeing such a white-looking rock down there. And so it's looking like it's moving again. Then, and it like seemed to expand itself, and it got like that big, and it moved across a little bit and started to come up the hill. I said, oh, wow, and I'm watching this thing, and Teddy sits, my dog sits with me in the morning, comes down in the morning, and he sits with me during my prayer time. So when he sees me move, he's up. He's looking around. What's he looking at? So I'm staring out the window at this thing, and I'm trying to squint my eyes in this early dawn to get, what is this thing? I've never seen. So Rick had given me a pair of broken binoculars. Thank you, Rick. And only one side of the thing worked. So I ran out to the car, which is in the front of the house, and I got this, and it looks like a telescope, and I'm looking down through, and I finally got a bead in this thing, and I started to focus it in, and I said, now I'm going to identify this albino badger. And the more I looked, I finally realized that it was a plastic bag. I don't know how it blew down into the woods, but I'll tell you, for 5-10 minutes, I was on the edge of my seat with this plastic bag, and it would get like the wind would go out of it and get thin, and it'd puff up again. I thought, oh, my. So that was a real case of mistaken identity as I observed this plastic bag. At times, and I'm going to equate this a little bit to my sermon as we go on, that we can wonder about what the identity of certain things are. Today, I am thinking basically about, I was going to say one scripture I would introduce this with, which isn't even the main scripture I'm thinking about, but we've mentioned it so many times. In Ephesians 5:18, it said, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. And at times it almost seems like a vague thing that we can't quite see or put our finger on, because how do you really identify the Holy Spirit. And what is being equated here between drunkenness with wine and the Holy Spirit? Are we supposed to stagger around as though we are a drunk in the Spirit, so to speak? I knew that was a thought that we used to have during the 70s about being drunk in the Spirit. And I've often wondered about the validity of those kinds of emotional manifestations in the lives of those that were seeking a deeper walk with God. But who wants a deeper walk with God out there? I know I do. I know I want, when I say more of the Holy Spirit, I don't mean that that he's going to get any bigger like that bag within me. It's just that I want to be more yielded to what he's saying to me in my life. And it is, we are a Holy Spirit people, not just because we are Pentecostals, but because it is the Holy Spirit that moves in the church this day. Is that an amen? And it is only by the power of the Holy Spirit that you will ever see anything and receive anything from God. It is the Holy Spirit, he, the third person of the Trinity, who reveals all truth to all people in this dispensation, in this time of grace. And it will be the Holy Spirit who is in us and guides us into all truth. So many thoughts as to the fullness of the Spirit. And we think about the fullness of the Spirit. And I think about the Spirit as that one that comes to convict the world of sin and righteousness and of judgment. How he does that, there are various thoughts. When the Holy Spirit comes, since he has come at the day of Pentecost, and he convicts the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment, does he do this only through the revelation that is found in the Word? Does he do this through some supernatural means of communication to all people? The thought runs through the minds of those. Does he do it through us? And maybe in some sense he does it through all those means, through the Word, through a supernatural attitude that seems to prevail in the world, and through the people of God he reveals himself. In certain truths, he indwells every believer. And I've always wanted to establish that since we are a Pentecostal, charismatic-type church, that you don't have to have the Pentecostal experience as is defined by the assemblies or any other Pentecostal denomination. You don't have to have that Pentecostal experience to actually have received the Holy Spirit, because everyone here that believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, that has accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior, has believed in their heart, confessed with their mouths, and believed in their heart that Jesus rose from the dead, then you have the Holy Spirit within you. The Holy Spirit is in you of a truth. And so that is a truth that cannot be denied or taken from you. And so when you're thinking that maybe Pentecostalism has tried to relegate some people to a second-class citizenship, that is not the fact. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, the Bible said he does not belong to him. He is none of his. But we all have the Spirit of Christ within us, and we thank God for that. We, as Pentecostals, do believe in the move of the power of the Holy Spirit as a second work of grace, that we could have an encounter with the Holy Spirit. And I know there's different thoughts on that also. And I'm not really speaking about that, but I'm just saying these preliminary thoughts to get us in the mindset of understanding that where I want to go with this as far as the fullness of the Spirit in our life. I want to present this day two thoughts. A continuous filling of the Holy Spirit, which is different than the Holy Spirit resident within you, and a thought that I've sort of entitled my own, a rising up. In fact, when Jacob asked me what the title of the sermon was, I thought about it, and I said, a rising up within you are the two thoughts that I have in my mind that I'd like to present about the working of the Holy Spirit. There is much work that the Holy Spirit does, but these two aspects or thoughts of the Holy Spirit, I would like to just exercise our hearts about today. If you were in Sunday school, Eric did a great presentation about the omnipotence of God and his all-powerful being, and the more he chewed around that subject, it became clearer and clearer the awesome truth of the unlimited, the limitless power of God in all that he does. Now, being filled with the Spirit in the manner that is described in Ephesians 5:18, More of what you desire. It's a desire. I'm thinking then and a motivation from when it says, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." It's not so much a doing. You don't drink in the Spirit, so to speak, as you would physically take a bottle of wine and drink that. It's not so much what you do to attain it. Do I read more? If you read the Bible through 15 times, do you think you would have more of the Holy Spirit in you? It's a possibility, but it wouldn't have been that did it. It wouldn't have been reading the Bible. It wouldn't have been praying for 3 hours a day. It won't have been doing more. It won't have been seeing more. It's a matter of your motivation and your heart's desire. It's when you bring yourself into that place, or you allow God to bring you into the place of when you seek me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. It's a desire of the heart. It's a desire of the attitude. It's a motivation that has to come from within you. And it's not an external thing that you can place within you. Wonderful as so many thoughts of Pentecostal experiences are, with the laying on of hands, the Holy Spirit does not necessarily come to a person who has hands laid upon them. It is the attitude of the heart of the person receiving. And it may be helped along by people that are participating. That certainly, as you've heard me explain my experience, was the way people laid their hands upon me. But my heart was eager. My heart was desirous to receive more of God. The thought, be not drunk with wine, in that section, seems to be pointing to either a hiding. Because if a person is a drinker, and they turn to drink when they have a problem. And I've seen this so many times in movies where people decide, you know, life is miserable. I'm going to go out and I'm just going to get drunk. So they run away. They hide in their booze. They hide in their drink. Or some people hide from, now this is something I observed firsthand in the entertainment business. You had to have a couple stiff drinks before you went in front of the audience. I never wanted to do that because I wanted to have all my brain with me when I went out there. It certainly doesn't give you a better ability to be able to approach a situation if you are impeded by alcohol. I can't imagine anyone ever thinking that drinking or taking drugs of any kind is ever going to heighten your ability to be able to communicate with people in a free manner. And we see athletes that have tried the same thing, and it just seems to me that they're trying to hide in their drink or in their drug. So to me, be not drunk with wine is do not try to escape the situation by turning to some alternative, Paul is saying. Be not drunk with wine, and don't try and escape the reality of this situation by seeking some other means or some other strength to deal with a situation. If I am seeking some other means to deal with my life, the young people, the adults here, if you are seeking something other than the Spirit of God to deal with the situations of your life, then you have sacrificed the best for the least. You have taken some other alternative. In fact, that's almost like worshiping another god. To turn from what God has offered you. Bear with me as I cough a little. I'm getting over this thing. But you're going to have to answer for that you have looked to another means to sustain your life rather than the offered means of the power of the Holy Spirit. And God wants you to rely on Him alone. Will you say amen? I want to rely on God and God alone. Now, I don't mean you do not do the practical thing. I am not against putting a Band-Aid on a cut, sewing up a cut with stitches. I was in the emergency ward for stitches as a kid more than anybody. My sister said she spent half her life in the emergency ward with me, sewing me up for things I did. And that never ended when I got to be an adult. While we were building this church, I put my hand through a window, more slices. I went to a doctor in Wurtsboro. I never went like in the emergency room. I just walked into this local doctor and said, you know, I sliced my hand. So he sewed me up there in the office, and I went. Then I had a sheetrock knife, and I'm cutting sheetrock, and I sliced my wrist. So he said, are you trying to commit suicide? You know, I'm going to have to report you. You keep on coming in there like this. So I sewed that one up, and then we were taking a brake, an aluminum brake from off the truck. It flipped, and it ripped the skin right up there. So I had 10 stitches in the top of my wrist. So things like that happen. So I'm not against doing the practical things, because I'm such a hazard to be around for myself. Now, I usually don't hurt other people, but myself I hurt a lot. So that's so I'm not against going to the doctor for things like that. But I am against ever appealing to any other supernatural thing when it comes to receiving something supernatural. You only should go to God to receive the things that are given of God. Do you believe that? Because if you're doing something other than that, you are going against God. We should, obviously, when we are seeking God, come to Him in spirit and in truth. And so the be not drunk, instead of hiding or denying, we face up to this situation head on, and we confess our inability to deal with this situation in and of ourselves. So the be filled is with what? What does it mean to be filled? What is filled? My body, is my body filled? Is my mind filled? Is my will filled with the Spirit? What part of me is filled? I want to think about that as we go on in here. So this preliminary to get to the point of what I want to say, that there is a filling that is mentioned in Scripture, which seems to come at a given opportunity or a given situation, I can't always say a desperate, but an important situation. And I take it from three or four scriptures here, and I want to read these and look at these. In Acts 2, chapter 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. When the Spirit of God came upon the 120 in the upper room, it was a coming upon. It was something totally different than had happened before. Obviously, the Holy Spirit had manifest Himself in different ways in the Old Testament, and even John was filled with the Spirit from his mother's womb, and Samson had the Spirit come upon him. But here, at the establishing of the church, the Holy Spirit came, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, which is a uniquely different manifestation of the Holy Spirit in this sense. And so the other one that I was looking at, again, Ephesians 5:18. So there is an aspect of the Spirit that is being filled with the Spirit for an occasion, let's say, or there is a another aspect that is filling with the Spirit as a rising up within you. Andrew Murray gave a great illustration of this. And the illustration he used is like at farming areas. He's from the 1800s. And in farming areas of his time, they had a reservoir that they built. So when there was a little stream could flow into that, but when there was an abundance of rain, this reservoir would fill up, and then they would have a backlog of water to be able to water the crops for for that season. And so they looked for the abundance of rain to come. But then he gave another illustration. He said, but then there was a continuous flow of a spring within the ground. And this spring made a continuous flow, not of an abundance of water, but it did spring up. And I've often thought about the songs that we sang years ago, Spring Up, Oh Well, if you remember that, with my soul, spring up and make me whole. And that was that springing up type. And I'm thinking of that as the rising up. But then there's that one where the abundance of rain would come. There shall be showers of blessing. It used to be an old song that we sing, looking for the showers of blessing. And it might come for a special occasion. And so the thing I'm looking at is that the continuous flow, and then again the special anointing. They sang a song today. There is an anointing in this place, and it can always be evident when people have opened up to the Spirit of God, and there is a sweet anointing as we feel the presence of God moving in us corporately. And I thank God for that. But now I'm looking at these four scriptures specifically, and when it says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. In Acts 4, verse 8, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Ghost, it said, said unto them, ye rulers and the people and elders of Israel. And so he started off his dissertation in this way, but the Bible said he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And the message that he gave forth was a rising up within him that sprung forth and gave a word of exhortation to those in that the area of the newfound church. Peter was filled with the Spirit, and he brought forth that word in power. And I don't know if how many of you ever have had opportunity to witness to somebody or have had opportunity to preach in front of a congregation, but there are times when maybe, and I have felt this myself, times when I have brought forth maybe a very didactic, educational word, and it's come, you know, I've just said, this is what happened. It's been more like a report. But there have been times when I felt the urgency of the Spirit of God rising up within me so much that I felt like I was going to leap out of my skin. And I knew it was the Spirit of God that was moving me and had surrounded me with some kind of a special anointing. And I love to be in that place of special anointing, that rising up within my soul. And I know I've told you this story before. But when I was a younger man on the ship, one day I had come across two young fellas that were band members. The one was a trumpeter, the other played the sax. And we always got up to the midnight buffet, and I had my big bowl of ice cream at that buffet. I loved that. And they were sitting there, and they asked me about something about myself, why that I didn't hang out at the bar with all the other folks after the show, the way other entertainers did. And so God opened the perfect door for me to begin to witness my faith. And I told you, for those that remember me giving this account, there was the guy that was the magician on board. He was another act. And he was like a agnostic. And so he began to mock me all of a sudden with this. But the Spirit of God came upon me. It was an amazing thing. And it was like all of a sudden I just, with all gentleness, I just began to expound on the Word of God. I felt, and although I'm not comparing myself with Stephen, the first martyr of the church, there was no withstanding nor gainsaying the word that came forth from my mouth, because it came forth in power. And the magician, this was the first magical trick of his that ever worked. He was moved out of the way. Almost by an unseen hand, it's like he was slid out of the side, and it was just me and these two young fellas. And I began to tell them about the glories of Jesus Christ. Now, for the one boy that was not saved, he was listening to me like a puppy for milk. And I told him about the truth of Jesus Christ and the salvation that only Christ could bring and the power of God Almighty. And at that table, he gave his life to Jesus Christ. The other young fellow was there, had been a backslidden Salvation Army attender. And he almost broke down and wept because he had strayed from the things of God. And he turned his life back over to God that very night. And it was the power of God that had given me that unction that night to be able to present the truth of that gospel that night. And I thank God for that kind of anointing that would come upon a person that was given over to that. And so just as Peter had been filled with the Holy Spirit, I believe I was filled with the Holy Spirit. Not that I didn't have the Holy Spirit in me before, but there was a rising up. There was an unction, there was an anointing that came upon me when the Spirit of God spoke through me. I look at another verse in Acts 4:31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together.
And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Now, not only does God give you an opportunity to bring a message by the power of the Holy Ghost, but in this instance, after they had prayed, it said the place was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't believe it was the prayer so much that had made the place shake or made them be filled with the Holy Spirit. It was their desire to be serving God in obedience and receive all that God has from them. They didn't say, "Now, Lord, fill us with your Holy Spirit." They didn't even say that. They just prayed God, thanking him that they had been able to testify with boldness in front of the Jewish community about the power of God Almighty. And because they were so eager and so filled with desire to have the Holy Spirit move in their life, it said they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word boldly, I would assume, to one another. So the Holy Spirit can come upon you in an unction, in an unction to be able to witness or to preach. The Holy Spirit will come upon you to be able to withstand all the wiles of the enemy when that time comes. Another beautiful scripture on that is Acts 7:55. And he, being full of the Holy Ghost, this is Paul, looked up steadfast unto the heavens. I'm sorry, this is Stephen. And he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfast into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Not only does God, in the person of the Holy Spirit, give you the ability to speak out with boldness in all situations, and when God has the word to bring forth and the anointing is upon you, there will be no one that could stand in your way. But there will come a time that maybe you're called upon to face some adversity in this specific aspect. Stephen was called upon to give his life as the first adult martyr of the church. And so it said, Stephen was filled with the Holy Ghost. And he said, "I see the Lord standing at the right hand of the Father." And he began to testify in bold power. And this is where the Bible says that no one was able to gainsay nor resist what Stephen had to say. And he brought forth the word in power, and they must have stood in awe. But those that were ordained to take the life of Stephen rose up and dragged him out and stoned him to death, calling upon the name of the Lord. And to show you that the Spirit of God was strong in Stephen, he said, "Father, forgive them. They do not know what they're doing." And so he went to heaven to be with the Lord. By the power of the Holy Ghost was upon him, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. God will give you through that anointing, will give you through that unction, will give you through that rising up, the ability to stand before anyone and to give the testimony that you've been called to give in the most adverse situation. Do not let the time pass, but receive what God has for you. There wasn't a begging on the part of Stephen. There wasn't a begging on the part of the apostles. "Oh, fill me with your spirit." There just was an attitude of being ready for whatever God had for them, and God filled them with the spirit for that specific instance. And lastly, I'm looking at Paul, or Saul at this time. Acts 13:9, then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, and he set his eyes upon him. That is in Acts 13:9, and that is referring to when Elymas the sorcerer had stood and began to resist the words of Paul. And Paul turned to him and he said, "You son of all that is evil and all devilish stuff," he said, "there's going to come a cloud upon you. You're not going to be able to see for a certain season." And at the very time that he said that, Paul said that, darkness came over Elymas, the sorcerer, and he was blinded and had people lead him around. Well, the anointing of the Holy Spirit is like that. When God gives you the unction, when God gives the anointing, you're not only going to be able to stand against sorcerers, you're going to speak to dead bodies, to ill bodies, to whatever situation there is, and the Spirit of God will rise up within you, and you will see the power of God move as he never has before when you weren't filled with the Holy Spirit in this sense. I mean, what an opportunity. What a joy. To have that kind of a special anointing, that kind of a special rising up. So God gives this for those that are defending the faith, standing against the wiles of the evil one. And what is the process I've thought about for this being filled with the Holy Ghost? As I look at these three instances, we see only one has a form of some immediate preparation. Only in the one scripture in Acts chapter 4, verse 31, we find that, and when they prayed, the room was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. So that would be the only one you could say, well, it looks like they prayed, and that's what brought on this fullness. But that wasn't it. Because if you look at the other instances that I have brought up, there was no advanced preparation. And I know at times we as a church would say, if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you better get down and pray and tarry. And you better read your Bible more, and you better have a time set aside where you're seeking the Lord, and you've got to get this, and you've got to go out and serve more, and you've got to go out and do more. And it's more like a doing thing. But the Bible never has said that you have to receive the Holy Spirit by doing. It said if you desire and ask anything from the Father, He will give it to you. And if any man should ask a loaf of bread, He wouldn't give him a stone, or if he ask for a fish, He wouldn't give him a scorpion, and so on. And so God is willing at the asking, but I would say that it's an attitude of the heart. It's an attitude that is open and receptive. Unfortunately, in this day and age in the church, we have so many theological restrictions that we have placed on us, so many doctrinal specifics that we are no longer open to receive the Spirit of God because we walk tenuously as to whether that truly is what God wants for us. And so we are so hesitant about messing up that we fail to launch out into the deep and let the whole net down to receive a draft. I heard a story about Abraham Lincoln, and Abraham Lincoln was riding along, I don't know, his horse or his carriage, and he came along a farmer whose pig was stuck in the mud. And Abraham Lincoln was dressed to go to administrative meeting. At that time, he wasn't the president. I think he was still running for different offices. But in his suit, he got down because he was a man's man, too. He had been farming and building log cabins. That's where I got my idea to be my Lincoln log cabin. So he got down and he helped this farmer pull this pig out of the mud. And there he is all messed up. Now, I often think about that. Sometimes our lives get defiled by even doing something good. What I mean by that is sometimes you are out doing your best to help people, but you may your life may get defiled from the very filth that is hanging around that area. And it seems that, I think it was Tori that said, why do you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit? He said, because sometimes I leak. Because sometimes when you have been filled with the Holy Spirit and that unction, and you go out and you begin to serve in the world, you can either get defiled from what you are messing around, or you can leak. The Holy Spirit, I'm not saying is leaking out of you, but in essence, you are using up that anointing. Why would we be exhorted to be filled with the Holy Spirit if it's equating it to being filled with wine? Because I believe that there are continuous and opportunities for more fillings of the Holy Spirit on a regular basis, meaning that you can be filled with the Holy Spirit and somehow use up that capacity like a drain battery, and you need to come back to God and be filled again. Now, whatever reason that may happen, you're either defiled by the filth of the world or you somehow have used that up, even in a good manner, you still need to be filled with the world. And so I don't want you to be in a delusion of thinking that once you have received a filling from God that you don't need another filling. Because we can see that Peter was filled with the Spirit of God in Acts 4, in the early portion of Acts 4. Then when they came back to the house, they were filled again with the Spirit of God. There can be like a various fillings of the Spirit. And that's what I want to see in my life. When the unction comes upon us, it varied in sundry times. We need to be able to look for that kind of a filling in our life. Amen? I want that in my life. And I'm sure that if you are like me in that sense, you want to be filled with all that God has for you in this aspect. So, as I said, I don't believe it was their specific doing that brought it about. It was an attitude of the heart and the motivation that had to be that which was sincere for God. Sometimes there are people that say, well, you know, I want to get the Holy Ghost so I can go out and heal people and I go out and do this. And on the surface, that sounds like maybe it is a good and honorable thing. But when you think about Philip going down to Samaria and preaching to the people there, there was a revival there where Philip went. And the people turned to God. But another one named Simon the sorcerer, who used to deceive the people through his sorceries, said he believed in Jesus Christ, and he saw the works that Paul did. And when the disciples came down in Acts chapter 8 and laid hands upon the believers to receive the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, Simon saw this and was so amazed at that he offered Peter and John money. It said, here, you know, here's a few bucks. Can you make it so that whomever I lay hands upon could receive that power too? Well, if the object is to see people filled with the Holy Spirit, then that sounded like that was the right kind of thing to do. But you know, sometimes it only is by the power of the Holy Spirit that you can see into a person's heart. Peter looked into the heart of Simon and he said, let your money perish with you because your heart is not right in this matter. You better pray to God that he doesn't take you and drag you through the coals. And Simon shivered down there. Oh, he said, I pray that this doesn't happen. See, Peter saw into the heart of Simon the sorcerer that he wanted this for his own advantage, for his own advancement, for his own exaltation. If that be the reason you are ever seeking a deeper walk with Jesus Christ, may your desire in that sense perish. But may what would rise up within you, a desire to see the name of Jesus Christ exalted. I was happy to hear this day in Sunday school that Eric had a desire to see the name of Jesus Christ exalted, mentioning Revelation, where at the time of Revelation and the sea of judgment will be across all people and everyone will stand and give glory to God Almighty. Who looks forward to that day when we will give glory to God Almighty for who he is and what he's done, not what he can do for me, not how what kind of a name I can be made for myself, but that I might praise the one who gave his life for me, my family, and for all people. We look for that day. Amen and amen. So there is an opportunity to have that kind of a deeper move of God in your heart. And there's also that opportunity to have a regular filling of God. I do believe that if your attitude is right and you are staying in the Word, staying in prayer, staying in fellowship, staying with a witnessing heart, that there will be a continuous flow of the Lord Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit coming into you. But as you stay with that attitude, that same attitude, that prayerful, submissive attitude that wants to only exalt the name of Jesus Christ, and a situation arises, that you're going to have rise with up in you an unction that you will relish and that you will just glory in the presence of God and you will feel his power in your heart and you will witness with a vibrance and with a clarity. You'll witness with a clarity that it transcends any other thing that you have experienced. And that is something that you cannot manufacture, something you cannot do to get, but it's something that you bring yourself into a place of willingness to be used by God, and he will fill you with his Spirit. The way I look at it is that you've got to evaluate yourself even as you're sitting here in this congregation this day. Have you come for with a hope that is something's going to happen maybe today? Have you come with a thought that maybe since this is a traditional place to be, a church on a Sunday morning, that you're here? Or have you come with an attitude of expectation that God will visit you through the music aspect and worship? God will visit you through the prayer, or God will visit you through the message, or God will visit you through the saints of this church who might speak a word into your life. If you have come seeking the things of God, it used to be an old phrase, you bring your own anointing. I believe you bring your own attitude that can receive the anointing of God at any moment. And you never know. I come with an attitude wondering what God is going to do today, wondering how I might receive the blessing of God in the fellowship of the saints and in the Word, and just wondering with and eager with anticipation on how God will do that. And so I evaluate myself. I look and say, am I, even in today, now I don't think that you got to be so analytical all the time, but I come here and I say, if I come to worship the Lord, and in the first songs that were sung, I want to have my mind's eye stayed on God. I'm thinking about you, God, and how I'm thankful to you, and how there's a sweet anointing in this place, and it's the presence of the Lord God Almighty. And I repeat these things in my heart as I'm worshiping Him. And I know that I'm being filled with the Spirit of God because I brought myself into that place and into that attitude. But it's just not on a Sunday morning. This has got to be a daily, everyday intent of your heart. The desire should be there. I don't know how many of you have that kind of prayer time that I have been blessed to and afforded by my place in life at this point in my life. That I can get up when nobody else is in the house or around the house, so to speak, and get down in that prayer area and there spend time with the Lord. And how many have an opportunity on a daily basis to spend, and maybe I don't want you to raise your hand then. Think about this in your heart. You have an opportunity to spend at least a half hour, 45 minutes to an hour before the Lord in prayer and seeking His face and in meditation before Him with an attitude that wants to listen. I used to come when I was younger and pray and tell Him everything I wanted Him to do. I gave Him His game plan for the day. Now I come with a listening heart. I want to listen to everything God wants me to do or would give me an opportunity to do. What a joy to be able to be used of God for a moment in time. But coming there with that attitude, if you have that kind of opportunity. And so maybe I could speak for you in this. And if you've had that opportunity, you come and at that time you just lay it all before God. Laying all your heart's desire before God, laying all your shortcomings before God, laying all the fact that you believe that He supplies all your need, and you mention how He has done that. Then you take the whole armor of God and you do it with a heart that you know that you're arming yourself with Christ so you can out and face the day, and you bless your family and you name individuals and you bless those in the church and you speak about certain matters that you're going to face this day and pray the anointing of the Holy Spirit would be in that. And by the time you're done, you are just lifted up knowing that God would be with you and will be with you. And you turn from that prayer closet and something happens at times between that place of prayer and going into the world. Somehow and sometimes, and maybe it has happened to you, I know you're such holy people, that this probably has never happened to you, but it happens to me often, where I leave my prayer, my dedication, my unique experience, my filling of the Holy Ghost, I leave it there, and I'll be back tomorrow morning to take that up again, and I go out here to do what I got to do. And I have taken the wrong thing with me and left the wrong thing there. Amen. What you need to take with you is the Spirit of God, the anointing of the Holy Ghost. What you need to leave there at the foot of the cross is the flesh, the old man, the self-doing, the self-sufficiency, the ability to think that you're going to have to make it on your own. Because let me tell you, if you have the thought that you're going to make it on your own, you have trusted in the wrong one again. And so I have been, and I want to continue to do this, to leave my old man aside there at the foot of the cross, there where I've said, God, you take care of that. I am dead to the things of the world, and I am, the Holy Spirit is anointing me, and I am very delicately walking back into the world. And I'm, you know, want to make sure that I'm leaving with the power of the Holy Ghost. I want to make sure that as I'm standing here, that I'm standing in the power and in the presence and in the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Because if in fact I have somehow through at the time of worship and the time of this morning's prayer picked up the flesh and came with me, and all I am doing is delivering a fleshly message, then you're going to receive nothing from the Lord. Or maybe you will, but I won't. I want to receive the blessing of the presence of God in my life. And I know that's what you want. You don't want to receive me. You don't want to receive my old man. You don't receive my opinions of this and that and 15 other things. You want to receive the anointing of the Holy Ghost. That's what you want. Above all things, the unction of the Holy Spirit upon you. So the process that I would leave with you as you consider the other things that I said about being filled with the Holy Spirit is to, at that time when you evaluate your life and you present it all before God, you take all that God has for you, and you don't have to do anything to get that. You just present yourself before God and ask Him to fill you, and then you make sure that it's not just there that you have that kind of union with God, but as you go into the world, into your family, into the house, into this church, into any place you go, that you take the power of the Holy Ghost with you. As you are doing that, you are fulfilling the scripture, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. This takes practice. This takes a dedication. This takes an attitude of the heart that does not want to slip back into the old way and into the old man. This takes a realization of who you are serving and who has given their life so that you might have life, and who is offered to you but the power and the person of the Holy Ghost. Who could ever want anything less than the Holy Spirit? Hallelujah. I want all that God has promised to me. Not for my own self-exaltation, but that I might do what God has to do in me. I want to be used up in the kingdom of God. And I can say that and not feel haughty about that, because I want to be used of the Holy Spirit, not for Bert Lloyd's sake, but for the name of Jesus Christ, who gave His life for me. That's whose sake, for Christ's sake, I want to do these things and live in the Spirit. I encourage you this day, that if you have not walked circumspectly, that if you have not taken the Holy Spirit with you out of the prayer closet or out of your evaluation time, then you reassess your life and say, Lord God, I may have walked away for a 1,000 days, but today I'm going to take the name of Jesus with me. I'm going to take the power of the Holy Ghost with me. I'm going to take the anointing and live in that rising up in my heart that you have placed within me. May God bless you and let you see the extent that God will go to fill you with His Spirit. Let us